Morning, everybody. Let's turn your Bibles to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 14. Just a couple things on the, I guess, from public reading. Just really a reminder that God's people, if we humble ourselves and pray and seek His face and turn from our wicked ways, then He hears from heaven, forgives our sins, and heals our land. Brother, I know we live in a country that has largely turned their back on God. And we too, each of us, went astray. We went our own way. But, you know, we're in Christ. And as those who are in Christ, understand, under the Old Testament, the temple was the place where the prayers that were offered there, that God would hear those. Under the New Testament, the temple is collectively the church, and individually, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We can pray anytime, anywhere, and God hears us. We need to be doing that, seeking His face, and praying not only on behalf of the church, but this country in which we live, because, wow, we need it. Amen? You guys are in Romans 14. Appreciate the exhortations this morning, the stewardship. You know, Kendall, one point in time, we wondered if we'd ever give him up here. He gets up here and man has us burning through the pages and preaches half my message for me. Kendall, he's not looking at me. But we'll get on that, appreciate that. And then just a great reminder for the Lord's Supper of what Christ has done for us. We come the first day of the week and we do this in remembrance of Him. The sacrifice that He made. And then, as Mike brought up so well, that we follow in His footsteps and His example. We follow His example and do the same for others. Now, Romans chapter 14, verses 1 through 12. We're really keying in on verses 9 through 12 this morning. We're starting the reading in verse 1. Romans 14, 1 through 12. Now, accept the one who is weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions. One man has faith that he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats vegetables only. Let not him who eats regard with contempt him who does not eat. And let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has accepted him. Who are you to judge the servant of another? To his own master he stands or falls, and stand he will, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One man regards one day above another, another regards every day alike. Let each man be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it for the Lord. And he who eats does so for the Lord, for he gives thanks to God. And he who eats not, for the Lord he does not eat, and gives thanks to God. For not one of us lives for himself, and not one dies for himself. For if we live, we live for the Lord. Or if we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. But you, why do you judge your brother? Or you again, why do you regard your brother with contempt? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it's written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God. So then each one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do praise your great and glorious name. Lord, we are thankful for the opportunity to come and assemble together today about your table that you have set for us and given us a special invite to remember you, Lord, to remember what you've done for us, to proclaim to the world your death until your return, to remember the mission, Father, and to grow together, Lord, in love. We're appreciative for your word, the truth that we find therein, the way that it does pierce our hearts, the way it convicts us, the way that it strengthens and encourages us, builds perseverance within us. Lord, I ask that you be with me today as I preach your word, that I would communicate it clearly. And Father, each one of us would really consider and remember the judgment day is coming. That each one of us will stand before you and give an account. Lord, may we be ready to do so through Jesus Christ our Lord. It is in his name that we pray. Amen. I'm not really going to review this morning just because I got a long message. And for visitors, we're supposed to finish at 11:30, but these guys would tell you I'm very consistently like 11:38. So just to give you a heads up, you kind of have an idea what time you're probably planning on getting out of here. But just really quick, the church in Rome made up of Jew and Gentile Christian. He, particularly, there's a couple things he mentions from their backgrounds that they come into. So a Gentile who's been converted and come into Christ used to partake in these sacrifices to false gods. And then they would, part of the participation in that sacrifice, would they be to eat the meat that had been sacrificed to those gods. So the question comes up, hey, we're in Christ. Now, do we eat a meat that's been offered to demons or not? And the scripture is, actually, if your conscience is fine and strong with that, you can partake of any meat. Doesn't matter. The earth's the Lord's and all it contains, right? We know there is no such thing as any other God other than the God. But if your conscience bothers you, which you would understand, some of these guys coming into it, their conscience would bother them because of their past. Hey, if it bothers you, don't do it. And those of you who partake, don't look down on those who don't partake. You know, it's etc., vice versa. About Jews, they're former Jewish Christians. These guys have partaken in all of these Jewish festivities, the feast days, all that. Now they become Christians. Is it okay to participate still in those old Jewish days or not? If you can do it with a good conscience, it's fine, but it's not necessary, and you cannot put that on somebody else for their salvation. So that's kind of where we left off, in the fact that whether we live or die, whatever we do it for the Lord. So today I want to shift gears a little bit into verse 9. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. There's really lots of reasons we talk about Christ's death and resurrection. I just recently been working on my latest Targeting Truth video. Got a few little things to fine-tune, finish that up. But the title is The Gospel is Good News. And just thinking about the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross, the fact that there's a price that He paid for sins that nobody else could ever pay. There's no other way that we could ever get that issue of sin resolved in our life other than from Jesus being willing to come to earth and make that sacrifice. In that, this particular one, I don't talk about the resurrection. We think about the resurrection from the dead and the life that Christ gives us. The fact that He's seated on the throne and that He is the high priest and He always lives to make intercession on our behalf. And there's lots of great things about the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord. But in this passage, what the point that's being made, to this end, Christ died and lived again, that He might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. One of the great challenges that we have is when we come face to face with death. There's a few things I want to just mention this morning in reference to that. But you know, there's some of the brethren, some of our prayer requests today. Lana Sunseth, Kevin also asked me to ask prayers for her. She's got cancer, bone cancer. Trina Fountain right now, not able to be here, going through some very intense chemotherapy. Rich Wallace, if some of you don't know the updates on Rich. Bile duct cancer that then, spread through the liver? Am I getting that right, Rich? Very serious, what he's looking at. Guys, all of us, we think about this. I'm going to mention some people that have recently passed on in our congregation. Like, this stares you in the face. No matter where you are, come face to face with this. People in the world, what's their hope? R.I.P., right? Rest in peace. And the reality of it is, that's some hope to try to make themselves feel better about whoever's departed. But if you're not in Christ, nobody's resting in peace. Just the reality of it. We got to think about this and consider this. The true Christian, the only one with real assurance. You know, those who have died in this congregation, I'm going to go a few years back here. Some of these, probably Norma, I was looking, Norma might, there's a few others. Norma, me, and a few others. Frank Weller. Remember Frank? Can't forget that guy. This is congregation when the Lord called Frank home. Hallie. Marty Miller. Most of you probably don't remember Marty. Nice lady. Hey, by the end, come. Have to sit in a special chair in the back. Nicest lady you ever met. Russell Harrelson. Just become a Christian. Died in a motorcycle accident. That was a tough one on me. Terry Sloan. Middle-aged lady. Loved the Lord. Boom. Just like that. Went in for gallbladder surgery. Dead a few days later. Something with her heart. Todd McNeely. Heart attack. Alvin Hopper. Died of probably old age and orneriness a little bit. I miss Hop. You guys know that. I say that in love. Don Love. I love Mr. Love's public reading. Sarah Hopper. Bev Gordon. Don Toole. Michael Conover. John Heim. Recently Todd Cooper. Hey guys, just think, it's been tough on me, personally. But I know where those guys stand with the Lord. And Jesus died and rose again to this end, that He is Lord both of the dead and of the living. You guys remember the Sadducees? Didn't believe in the resurrection from the dead, and they come trying to trap Jesus and set Him up. You know, tell probably some hypothetical, oh, we got this woman, and you know, she was married, her husband died, and married the brother, and he died, and you know, all the way, what, through seven brothers? In the resurrection, whose wife is she going to be? They said, you guys are mistaken. You don't understand either the Scriptures or the power of God. And Jesus just makes a point. God said, I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. The point that Jesus is making is there is a resurrection from the dead. You know, these things can take a toll mentally, emotionally, spiritually. The reality is the environment of our congregation. You heard the list of names. Big change. But the Lord reminds us to this end, Jesus died and rose again, that He is Lord both of the dead and of the living. Because this was a concern to the Corinthians, wasn't it? You think about 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We don't have, for the sake of time this morning, I'm not going to turn there, but there were some among them who were saying there's no resurrection from the dead. And he's like, no, wait a second. You're trying to say there's no resurrection, future resurrection of the righteous? We're not dealing with the wicked, particularly this morning, right now. But you're saying there's no resurrection? He said, well, then Christ hasn't been raised. You're denying the resurrection of Christ from the dead, which is the hinge of Christianity. He says, look, if we've hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. So, but now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. Guarantee of that final resurrection. This is a concern for the Thessalonians. Let's actually turn there real quickly. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verses 13 and 14. Paul, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, verse 13 says, we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. You want to know if you're going to see your loved ones again? That's really two simple things. Being Christ. Well, let's back this up. Did Christ rise from the dead? Yes. So yes, if they're in Christ, you will see them again. We have confidence. We have confidence in the position of those who have died in Christ because of the death and resurrection of Jesus. Now, I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that Jesus died, that He went to the cross, that He showed to us. He experienced the greatest human weakness. This earth, this life on this earth, so full of weaknesses, and we're confronted with those, you know, just from a physical standpoint. Day in, day out, it was, you know, here I am at the peak. Some of you guys know I've had Achilles tendon problems for the past year. I'm hurting, but I didn't want to say anything about it because my buddy Dobson, he came with me. Man, you know, lost an arm a few years back. That guy's in constant pain. You know what the greatest human weakness is? Physical death. Jesus experienced that. He went through that on our behalf to show us He understands. Beautiful thing. Satan couldn't hold them there. Oh, death, where is your victory, right? Oh, death, where is your sting? I don't know how you guys are, but in my life, sometimes I try to figure out, you know, if I have issues, what's the core? Here's the symptom, this thing that's showing up in my life. But what's really the root problem of that? You know, Hebrews chapter 2 actually talks about Jesus through His death. It says that He rendered powerless him who has the power of death, that is the devil. The devil, through fear of death, he's held people slavery all their lives. In slavery all their lives. It's, you know what the greatest fear is? It's not public speaking. People wouldn't rather be dead than speak in public. What's the worst thing that happens? I mean, I know that's what people say. I mean, they take the, you know, that's the way the results of the surveys come back. I'm more afraid of public speaking than I am of dying. No, you're not. In the moment, you're more afraid of public speaking. You don't think you're going to die. But what's the worst thing that happened? You guys don't like my message today? You take me out and you go back to the Jewish system, pick up some big boulders and leave me for dead, right? Like, that's the worst thing that could happen. All fears are rooted in the fear of death. Jesus took those away so that we can live and die for Him without fear. You know, you think about the Lord's Supper. Sometimes I think too small. If you think about the Lord's Supper, we partake today. We partake with Christ. I think we all have that mentality. But, you know, Jesus had talked about this and foretold. He said, many will come from east and west, north and south, recline at table in the kingdom of God. Do you realize we're partaking with the Lord? We're partaking with the saints, past, present, and future. That's what that heavenly meal is about. Is because of the resurrection of Christ. Back to Romans chapter 14. The parts I really want to preach are this morning are these next parts. So, in verse 10, it says, why do you judge your brother? Are you again, why do you regard your brother with contempt? We shall all stand before the judgment seat of God. So I want to ask you a question. Why would you want to judge your brother? I want to be really clear on this. The Scripture is clear on this. The emphasis is on brother. We know how a person comes to Christ. We're not talking about making a decision whether or not somebody has entered into Christ. The Scripture is clear. There is a dividing line of salvation. I'm not preaching on that this morning. But I will say, if our mission is to seek and save the lost, you have to recognize a lost person when you see one. So, the Bible is very definitive that way. We are talking about judging your brother or sister in Christ. Why would you want to? So, let me just real quickly mention these names again. Frank Weller, Hallie Weller, Marty Miller, Russell Harrelson, Terry Sloan, Todd McNeely, Elvin Hopper, Don Love, Sarah Hopper, Bev Gordon, Don Toole, Michael Conover, John Hyman, Todd Cooper. Any of those guys that you hope didn't make it to heaven? Uh, It's easy. They're dead. We want them all to make it. How about this? Anybody in this room that you hope doesn't make it to heaven? I answer that question honestly. Might scare you a little bit. Why wouldn't you want to see your brother or sister in heaven? I want to see every one of you there. I want to be there. But let's follow this through, what the Scripture is asking us here. If you're thinking about it this way, what makes me think that I will get to sit up there on the judgment throne right next to Jesus and give Him my input on who should make it? You understand? That's what He's saying. You, why do you judge your brother? Hey, we're going to talk about the judgment scene in a second. That day is coming, isn't it? That day of judgment. But do you think when I'm in line, just fast forward a little, and I'm coming to stand before the judgment seat of God, hey God, I have a little input on that person behind me in line. Is that what that's about? No. That's about me and God, right? So why would we do that now? You understand what I'm saying? You think Jesus needs help on the day of judgment? Do you think He helps right now figuring out where people stand? Yeah, but Lord, I'm worried about... Well, maybe you have legitimate reason to be worried about somebody and their salvation, and there's some scriptural ways that we want to help people make it, right? Not necessarily preaching on that today. But you think that Jesus doesn't know? He knows, and He knows the motives of men's hearts. Man has a tendency to judge from outward appearance, doesn't he? God knows the heart. We need to let Jesus be the judge. I don't have time for these either this morning, but James 2, 12 and 13, James 4, 11 and 12, James 5, 9. There is a theme in that book, and one of those themes is basically, well, don't judge your brother. You know, I find it interesting. One place in James, it says, it ties in judging your brother with complaining against your brother. Not complaining against your brother. And here in Romans 14, he ties in judging your brother with holding your brother in contempt. I don't think it's an accident that the Holy Spirit, through James and Paul, tie those things together, because I don't think most of us, I know the way we work. I know the way I work. God anticipates what I'm going to say. I don't judge my brother. I would never do that. I'm not going to try to be the one that says whether or not they're... I would never do that. Now, if I'm going to be honest, though, do I ever complain against a brother? You see the implication here? Do I ever look at contempt, at a brother or sister with contempt? God isn't going to let me off the hook, and I'd never sit up there in that judgment seat throne and think that's my place. Well, that's true, then. We got no business complaining about a brother or judging a brother or looking at a brother or sister with contempt. Amen? That's what Scripture's driving at here. Making it real for us. Hey, we're kidding ourselves about this a little bit. If you're complaining or looking at them with contempt, you're subtly setting yourself up as their judge. Guys, Jesus has this handled. That's the point. Romans 14, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of God. Don't worry, nobody's going to get off the hook on that day. If I'm a touch worried about somebody making it to heaven who shouldn't be there, I don't need to worry about that. You know, God actually has this thing perfectly designed The only people who made it to heaven are the people who are supposed to make it there, or else heaven will become like earth pretty quickly. That ain't going to happen. He's got it handled. So, you know what? At this point in time, you know what I got to think about? I got to think about me. You know who you get to think about? You. We're going to each give account of ourselves to God. Don't get to stand with anybody else. Don't get to stand with your husband and wife. Don't get to stand with your family. Don't get to stand with your church family. You and God. Count on yourself to God. You know, Scripture says more information about that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 tells us that when we give an account, we're going to give an account for our deeds done in our body, whether good or bad. You can account for every one of those deeds. You know, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 12, verse 36, He says that every careless word that men speak, they should give an account for it in the day of judgment. I already mentioned this, but in that day, 1 Corinthians 4, verse 5 tells us, in that day the motives of men's hearts are going to be revealed. You know, in other words, God knows everything you think, you say, and you do. Everything. And we're going to stand before His judgment seat and give an account. Let's go back to Revelation 20. Kendall read this. Let's get a picture of that day in our mind here. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and Him who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small. We have put other words in there. The rich and the poor. The upstanding citizens and the social outcasts. You get the point, right? The great and the small standing before the throne, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds. And death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Does that scare you at all? I mean, let's rewind this for a second. God knows every thought, word, and deed. You give an account. Hey, let's just make this real. Every single word that you said last week, I mean, hey, let's just run it through a filter, okay? And we'll just take the bad stuff. You said, and we're going to put it on a recorder, and we're going to put it up here this morning and play it for everybody here. That's scary at all? Hey, that's nothing compared to the holy and righteous God, right? Every sin you ever committed, every thought that you've ever had, sinful thought. Hey, let's put it on the big video screen and play it on the day of judgment. That scary at all? Hey, guys, at that point in time, it doesn't matter what anybody else knows. What matters is God knows. The one from whose face earth and heaven flee away. I gotta be honest about this. I wouldn't want my sins played in front of you guys. You guys are nothing compared to Him. Isn't it a little bit scary to consider that? I want you to, big picture, I want you to think about something. On that day, there are two groups. The sheep and the goats, right? You know, on that day, before you ever get up there for your personal one-on-one with God, you've already been separated into one of two groups. We call it the saints and the sinners. The justified or the wicked. And for the Christian whose mind is set on the Spirit, guys, the conclusion I come to from the Scripture is for the person whose mind is set on the Spirit. When God goes to play that video screen, you know what? You know what He finds? Jesus. Where are my sins? Didn't Jesus say, I will be merciful to their iniquities? In the new covenant, I will be merciful to their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. So why would God bring this up? God knows the tendency, guys, for each one of us, the tendency to play games of self-justification, to be delusional, to put off until tomorrow, really getting it right. You ever think about all the people that died recently in this congregation? Do you think God maybe is getting our attention, like, if you're not ready to go, you better be ready to go? Like, don't put this off until tomorrow. He reminds us we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. There are two possibilities for those of us who have been immersed into Jesus Christ. Two possibilities. One, our sins are blotted out. You ever read Hebrews chapter 11? I mean, it's a great chapter of faith. But one of the things that I love about that chapter is all these Old Testament men and women, you read the stories in the Old Testament, you know all the things they did wrong. And you get to Hebrews 11, and those things aren't mentioned. You know why? That's after the cross. Jesus paid them in full. So that's the good place to be, right? That's what we want. We get there, and the only thing that's found is the good things. But the other possibility is that you could have your name blotted out from the book of life. Can you imagine that day you get up there? You know, that there's the old hymn, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. I understand the point of that, and I can sing that song with a good conscience, but I don't think that's the picture in my mind. When the roll is called up yonder, you don't have a choice whether or not you're going to be there. Everybody's going to be there. The question is your name on the roll? I can't imagine anything worse than getting up there and the Lord saying, what was your name again? I think Jesus said something like that. I never knew you. The other is, somebody mentioned this morning, well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. What the Lord is communicating, guys, we need to get it right. Hey, you don't need to worry about your brother or sister. They're going to stand before the judgment seat of God. Now, if you care about it, you love them, you care about them, you want to help them make it to heaven, and you think there's something that needs brought to their attention, then please bring it to their attention because you care about them, you want to make it to heaven. You know the right way to do that. Scripture talks about the right way to do that, right? But you don't need to worry. You don't need to set yourself up as their judge. They're going to stay in there. And you need to make sure you got you. So if Christ were to come right now, okay, just ask yourself this. If Christ were to come right now, where would you be? Would you be a sheep or goat? Would you be in good standing, or would you be shrinking in shame, saying, one more day. I just needed one more day. Hey, if you're not in the right place, today is the day to get it right. Amen? If you're outside of Christ, you need to believe the message. You need to repent. And you need to confess that Jesus is Lord and be immersed into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and to receive the Holy Spirit. Do you know you can get that taken care of today? That's something that you can, if you're not in Christ, you can make that decision today. I want to think, what if you're in Christ? But you've been playing some games. Do you know you can get that right today? It makes sense, doesn't it? If there's somebody who's outside of Christ and they can get it right today, if you're in Christ, you can get it right today. Isn't the Holy Spirit, among other things, doesn't He renew us? In 1 John chapter 1, written to Christians, and say that you can confess your sins and they'll be forgiven. Confess those sins. Get your mind set on the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. And the day of judgment then is something you have to be fearful of. Something you can be ready for and look to with anticipation, the return of Christ. You know, when you have the right mindset, you're not worried about your judging your brother. You're going to encourage them along the way, aren't you? To be ready for that day? To make it to heaven? Friend, this is real. This is so real. This is the only thing that really counts. So I want to encourage you, wherever you are, look in the mirror yourself and make sure you're right. It's not... If this didn't come through today, I want it to be clear. It's not because of you that you can be right. It's because of Christ. I've preached that recently. When you get there and the judge says, oh, I'm your attorney, that's a good place to be. But you don't want to be hiding stuff from your attorney. He knows. So today is the day of salvation. Amen? All right, let's stand. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You and praise You. You are the righteous judge. But Father, even more than that, You're merciful. We're thankful that as Christians, we can come confidently before the throne of grace, that we may receive that grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Lord, You've been so good to us. You've been so good to us in this congregation. And yet we keep getting these reminders. Hey, make sure you're ready. Make sure you're ready. Lord, we're thankful that because of Jesus, we can know, we can be sure, we can be ready. My earnest prayer, Lord, is that each of us would be really serious about ourselves, that we would examine ourselves in the light of Your Word, that we would, if we've fallen a little bit away, that we would draw near to You. And in reference to our brothers and sisters in Christ, that if we have any complaining about them, we'd put that aside. If we have any contempt towards them, that we would put that aside. We understand that they're going to stand before the judgment seat of God. And we want to help them make it. We want to help them be ready. Father, strengthen us to love the way that You love. To live the way that You live. That we, Lord, would give our lives, our bodies to You as a living and holy sacrifice. We're so thankful for the example of Jesus, what He's done on our behalf. And with great gratitude, Lord, we're going today to live for You. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.